Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
This is Faith Under Fire. Each Thursday on Family Life, we give voice to religious battlegrounds in this nation. I'm your host, Tracy Lynn. With us today, Mississippi pastor Adam Wyatt. Thank you so much for speaking to me as we mark 1 year since the attack on the U.S. Capitol. The ideas of nationalism and patriotism both include having pride in our country, and yet there's a significant difference between the two. Would you explain those, Adam?
Well, you know, the thing about nationalism, it's one of those big terms right now that means so many different things to so many different people. And I think that's one of the problems with the term, with, you know, other terms like CRT, or what does it mean to be woke? What does it even mean to be a conservative now? You know, the way I tried to define nationalism is just that nationalism is basically a seeking to say that my country is somehow inherently better than other countries. And I say patriotism's quite a bit different, I think. It's more of a loyalty to our country. And I think we can define patriotism from a biblical perspective, or at least frame the conversation. But when you start to think that our nation or this nation or that nation's better, I think we kind of miss out on the point that God's created everybody in his image, and God has also established all nations. And so we've got to kind of tackle those issues together.
Yeah, and we've been given an order to go and make disciples of all nations. So if we only think we're important, we're going to fall short in our responsibility to tell others about Jesus.
Sure, I would completely agree.
Again, thank you for tackling this tough topic. Adam, as Christians, we are called to live as citizens of the kingdom of heaven and also in the nation that we live in. In light of that, what is biblical patriotism?
Yeah, the way I like to frame biblical patriotism is that biblical patriotism is a loyalty to our country, to our people, and to our culture. And I think you see the concepts of loyalty found throughout Scripture. And I think it is a way for us to say there is something inherently good about the place God has placed me. You know, I didn't choose to be born where I was. None of us did. Just like we don't choose to be born to our parents, but you know, the Bible tells us that we should honor our parents just because they are our parents. I think in much the same way, we have a loyalty to our country because it's ours. And God has placed us wherever we are. That doesn't mean that everything's good. It doesn't mean that everything's righteous or holy. It doesn't mean we shouldn't work for change. It doesn't mean any of those things. It just means there's something special about our place, our home, our land. And then there's something special about our people. And then there's something special about our culture. And so I think patriotism can definitely be a good thing. And I think it's a much better alternative than nationalism.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting that you mention loyalty to the culture. That culture of America has drawn people from all over the world to our shores. Quick question, how can we show love for our country without venturing into idolatry?
Yeah, that is one of the big questions. Loyalty to our country, I don't think it means blind attachment, okay? I think we need to be critical patriots. You know, there are great things about our country, and there's a reason that people come from all corners of the globe to come here. There's a reason for that. We have, you know, great things, and we have great things in our culture, and we've done some great good in the world. But that also means, I think, that we should say we did have slavery, and that's something we've got to figure out. We can't just gloss over that. We have aborted close to 60 million babies in 40, 50 years. That's not good. And I think we need to recognize that there are some things that we need to deal with, and there are things that we need to tackle. And I think we do that from a gospel-centered perspective, where we are trying to share the gospel and spread the gospel and love our neighbor and serve people. And we do those things as best as we can. But also, because we're Americans and we have this great political system, we also can vote and go into politics, and we can seek to make changes. We can do these things just by the nature of the way we are organized, which is also a good thing. And so I think we need to do both. But politics should never trump the gospel mission that God's given us. That's far more important. And as we do that, then let's also work to make political change wherever we can for the good.
Yeah. Adam, our nation's flag is typically linked with patriotism. What insights do you have from the Bible about viewing our flag in proper perspective?
My dad's a retired military. He was in the Air Force and also a pastor at the same time. So I've been able to live all around the world and travel. And I lived in West Germany, actually, when the Berlin Wall came down. Wow. I used to actually have pieces of it, of course, as a kid. You don't know that that's really that important at the time, so I lost them. but the flag is such a huge symbol, and symbols are so very, very important in our country. And some of them are not necessarily visible, you know, like the Constitution. That's a symbol, in a sense. You've got the flag, you've got the Capitol, you've got so many different things that serve as symbols, and those are good things. Because the Bible does tell us that we need to give honor where honor's due. And so I think it's entirely appropriate for us to consider honoring those that have served. And the Bible tells us very clearly we're supposed to pray for the government leaders and things like that. And so the flag can serve as a visual hermeneutic. In some of the research that I've seen in my book, 60% of churches across all denominations and faiths have some sort of a flag in their church building. They're not all necessarily in their sanctuary, but they do have that. Interesting enough, I found that Jewish congregations actually have the highest percentage of flags, which that was interesting. You know, the flag is a central symbol of a highly patriotic nation, you know, and so displaying it is really seen as some sort of a statement affirming our allegiance to the United States. For a guy my age, I remember when 9/11 hit, and then instantaneously, you could not find a flag in a store because they were sold out and they were everywhere. And I remember that it was such a powerful symbol of solidarity for me during that time. So they do have a big role in our life. The question is it a needed symbol inside the church? Is it necessary? Or is it just one of those things that's a neutral symbol? And I believe it depends on where you are. And it depends on what kind of person you are to say what that is. For example, I've had a conversation with someone one time after the flags were moved. Maybe it was Vacation Bible School or something. We were setting things up and the flag didn't get put back as soon as it should have to her. And her comment was, well, you know, I just can't worship with the flags not in there. I said, well, you know, that's probably not the best perspective because the flag of our country, it's not as important for us when it comes to worship. So we've got to be very, very careful. And so there's a very fine line, I think. And I think for somebody in my perspective, I'm in the Deep South, and I think it's probably a higher attachment in the South than it would be maybe in other areas. But I just think a pastor or a Christian, we just need to tread very carefully there in how we view the flag in the church and also even how we look at songs and stuff that we sing in worship.
Yeah, we want to make sure that we're not worshiping the song or the flag. We want to make sure that it's God that we're worshiping.
Absolutely. That's why we gather. I heard somebody say one time, you know, we're not going to be singing national anthems in heaven. And I just love that thought that even in heaven, in the picture we see in Revelation, tribes and nations are represented. So somehow, even in heaven, we maintain our national identity at some level, which I think is an interesting topic to discuss. So, yes, I mean, we need to gather and sing songs to Christ and worship him. That does not mean that we can't also at the same time do things that honor the people that we need to honor. For example, our church is going to do a big July 4th thing, but I don't want us to necessarily go around singing theme songs to America when we gather that Sunday. I want us to sing to Jesus. But outside of that, man, we're going to blow fireworks up and invite the community over and grill out and just say, man, thank you, God, for blessing us with what you blessed us with. So I think you can do both.
Yeah, you make a really good point about the time and the place.
The Bible does, I think, speak very clearly on some of these issues. The question is, are we willing to put a little effort into figuring these things out? You know, we can't just assume patriotism is just in itself a great, valuable thing. We need to look at why these things are good for us.
That's Pastor Adam Wyatt. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.